Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. This is Zane Seifert. You're listening to my radio show, which is Blog Talk Radio. The URL for that is blogtalkradio.com/Zane Seifert. And you will also be finding my highlights from this conversation. Compliments of Miss Susan Poirier of aceconcierge.net. She does a fabulous job of transcribing the notes from these shows and then allowing me to post them usually the Sunday after each show, as well as allowing me to pull out three key tips shared from each caller, from each guest. And that will be done Sunday. So today's guest, I'm actually calling you. You hear a little bit of hesitation in my voice. I'm calling you from a remote location. I'm broadcasting live from my stepson's home because this morning his wife, our stepdaughter-in-law, has decided to have a baby. Jamie and Mike are having a baby. Congrats to them. They're in process as we speak. So I rushed up to their home to cover for their house and take care of their house and their plants and their dogs until the baby is born. And I'm hopefully, by the end of the show, we'll have a baby girl. We're pretty sure it's a baby girl. They're pretty sure it's a baby girl. So if you hear a little awkwardness in the show, I think that's where it's coming from. So now this morning, what we're going to be talking about is we're going to be talking with Lon Safko, and you can follow him on Twitter at Lon Safko, S-A-F-K-O. He is the author of the Social Media Bible, and I'm going to send him an email just in case he forgot the call-in number. I'm going to send it to you right now by email. And then I'm also going to give you that number here live. Lon, the number is 646. There you are.
Yeah, I've been here for a while. Just couldn't hear you.
Oh, the man, the switchboard at Blog Talk Radio didn't show you pop up until just now.
Oh, geez. Okay, I've been on the line. Yeah.
Well, I apologize for that. But I would have been talking to you. How are you?
Hey, excellent. Good to be on the show. This is terrific.
I'm so delighted to have you on the show and to have you be a guest because I've heard nothing but great things about you and all of your fans talk about what a great presentation you gave just a little while ago.
Oh, gee.
You gave a presentation recently in Arizona, is that correct?
Yeah, I did with the town of Gilbert and Front Runner, which is part of Fast Track and the which is sponsored by the Kauffman Foundation.
That's fantastic. Now, I'm working a little bit blind this morning as my script that I had talked to you about is not available to me right at the moment, but I think we can carry on.
Oh, we can wing it.
Excellent. Now, you have written the book, Social Media Bible. Tell us about that book.
Yeah, the Social Media Bible. Wow, what a big project it turned out to be. It's 844 pages and over 3 pounds.
3 pounds.
Yeah, three pounds. Yeah, I say it's exercise for both the mind and the body.
So you don't need to carry around weights anymore. You just carry the book around and do arm curls in the hotel room.
Absolutely. Great for upper body strength.
Now, this book has just been published. Is that right?
Yeah, actually, yeah. It just came out May 4th, and John Wiley & Sons is the publisher. And we're real excited about the success that we've seen with it. It's really selling well.
Now, I always use this phrase. It's from my friend Erica Anderson. She coined it in her book, Being Strategic. The phrase is reasonable aspiration or hoped for goal. What was your reasonable aspiration for writing social media?
Well, you know, about 2.5 years ago, I heard about social media and asked all my techie, geeky friends what it was, and everybody said that it had no substance. It was just another buzzword, another Web 2.0 kind of a terminology, not to pay any attention. But when I started to look at it I realized it was a disruptive technology. You know, seldom does disruptive technologies come along that change the way that we do business. And as a business person and an entrepreneur, I was particularly excited about finding new tools for marketing, especially something as effective as social media. And almost every one of the tools are absolutely free. So I got really excited about it, and I started kind of preaching about it, and somebody said, you ought to write the Bible on it, which I did.
That's fantastic. And what was, have you seen any signs of your approach to reaching that reasonable aspiration?
Yeah, it's all about spreading the word and sharing this message that I found. That I find out about because it's so darn successful. And yeah, the book has been a bestseller since it's come out, and I get a lot of tweets on it and emails, and people are benefiting from it. And really, that's what makes me the most happy about the book.
And then when will you know you have reached your goal for the book? I mean, describe it for us. How will that change your day? How will that change my day?
Well, you know, really, the goal is to help as many people as possible, and I'm just hoping that as long as the book is out there and as long as it's relevant and as long as there's social media, which I think is going to be pretty much forever, I think it's going to continue to help people. And so I got to say I've reached that aspiration already.
Well, judging from the testimonials that I've seen about you on Twitter from a recent presentation that some people saw, they were universal in their acclaim, not only for you as a speaker, but also for the content and tips and resources that you gave.
Well, thank you. I truly appreciate that, those kind words and the kind words of the Twitterers. You know, when you talk about social media, it's fun. It's, again, it's free. It's effective. So I got to say the content matter has lends to making me look good, too.
Fantastic. Now, in your book, you talk about the Ten Commandments of social media.
Yeah, I do. Somebody came to me as I was writing the book, and they said, well, if there was 10 things, 10 commandments that you'd want all newbies, all people who are just trying to get involved in social media to do, what would those 10 things be? So I kind of put together the little list. I have it on a bookmark. It's on the website. And if you do those 10 things, then you're involved. Of course, the 11th commandment is strategy, and that's really the most important. But if you'd like, we can talk about those 10 commandments.
Let's go through those 10 commandments, because I remember reading them on your blog, and I thought they were fascinating, and I thought they're also incredibly helpful, too.
Yeah, and this is all about getting involved, getting engaged, getting in the game. And, of course, the first one is blogging, and you understand better than anybody the importance of doing a blog. It's about being out there. It's about a presence. It's about becoming a thought leader by sharing your thoughts. And blogs are easier than most people think. I mean, really, they only take 15 minutes, 20 minutes. It's a half a page of Word. And instead of hitting save, you simply hit post. So when your customers, when your prospects are searching for your subject matter and your competition appears, but you don't, you're not in the game, so you can't win. So blogging is really important. The number two is creating profiles. Make sure you have your profile everywhere. Make sure it's in LinkedIn and Facebook and MySpace and Flickr and YouTube. And the reason is that if you don't create your profile now, someone else is going to take it eventually. And it's gone forever. So anybody who's listening to the show, if you don't want to take the time to create your profile, send me an email. I'm going to go get it, and then in a couple of years, I'll simply sell it back to you when you realize it's important. The number three, of course, is to upload photographs. A lot of people really get into photo sharing. I like it. Every time I'm on a trip or we do a conference, I upload photographs. Well, people are searching out there for subject matter in photographs. So get on Flickr. And again, be there, because some people search for their next business, their next service, their next clients by using photos. And video is the same thing. Video, get on YouTube. Get your videos up there. I have like 90 videos. Some of them are really poor, but the content is good. And the cool thing about that is that, for example, I just got a job and asked to speak in the Netherlands. I don't market to the Netherlands, but they were cruising through YouTube, found one of my videos, and said, I'd like to have him come over and speak to us. So that certainly paid for any time that I put into YouTube, just the one speaking presentation. podcasting. Podcasting is what we're going to do. We're going to take the audio from this interview, and we're going to make it available for people to listen to later. It's got what they call a long tail. So a month from now, 2 months from now, this content is still going to be relevant, and people get the opportunity to listen to it, play it again, and benefit from it. And podcasting is really simple. You don't even have to comb your hair because it's just audio. And the microphone, the software, everything's already built into your computer anyway. So get in front of the computer, talk to it, and then upload it to Podbean or to your own blog. It's a matter of just being out there. Number six is set alerts. I call it cyber surveillance. Cyber surveillance means if you set a Google alert, which is really simple and it's free, anytime your name, your company name, your product name is mentioned anywhere in the world, you can instantly get a Google alert with an active link and see what those people are saying. Because people are talking about you. It's not the schizophrenia talking. They really are talking behind your back. And it would be nice to know if they're saying something good, you can encourage them. And if there's a misrepresentation, it would certainly be nice to be able to correct that. Do the same thing with Twitter. Go get TweetDeck. TweetDeck is a cool monitoring term for software for Twitter, and it gives you the opportunity that anytime anybody sends out a tweet, a text message, anywhere in the world, you instantly are notified of it, and again, you get a chance to thank them, correct them, pass it on. You and I have been tweeting back and forth for the last couple of days, right?
Yes, we have.
Yeah, and you were just referring to it. So it's a great way to market yourself and just to kind of get out there. And then, of course, number seven is to comment. Comment means follow your Google alerts, see who's talking about you on the blogs, and comment. Participate. And even if they're not talking about you, if it's a blog that's not about you, but it's about your subject matter, first listen to the conversation, read the blog, read the comments, and then add something of value. And that's what social media is all about, is adding something of value. So comment. And then, of course, number eight is get connected. Get connected in LinkedIn, get connected in Facebook, get connected in your social networks, get connected on Twitter. How do you do that? Well, include your address in your emails. Put it on your business card. Include it on your letterhead. The same as we used to do for web pages, you now have to, and for your cell phone and for your email addresses, we now have to do for our social networking addresses. And then number nine is just give me 30 minutes a week. Just take 30 minutes. Come in and work a little bit early, work through lunch, have your coffee, and explore on the internet just some different terms. Open up the book, pick out a term that's of interest to you, and just spend 30 minutes learning about it. And when you do that, it'll take all the mystery out of social media, and you'll actually become more comfortable with it. And then, of course, number 10 is just be creative. The more creative, and you know the videos that people send you an email, the videos that are most watched on YouTube are the ones that are the most creative, the most fun. Have fun, be authentic, transparent, be sincere. That's it. You do those 10 things and then add a little bit of strategy to it and you have a successful business formula.
Now, you know, there are so many great points that you brought up in there. Let's start at the very beginning, blogging. I started blogging as a CEO of a small company 4 or 5 years ago. I think I was one of the first or one of the rare ones to see the power of the flagship officer, the CEO, speaking on behalf of the brand in a voice only the CEO can write, speaking directly about the issues that relate to them, the solutions they found, the challenges, and every once in a while talking about the brand. Tell me, what's your opinion of why so many companies remain reluctant to blog, particularly with their executive officers?
You know, absolutely. You had two really good points there, is that the blog is spoken in a voice that only a CEO can speak. And that's absolutely true. And people want a face on their companies. They want someone that they can connect with socially, connect with psychologically. And by having an officer, especially the CEO, who's the head of the organization, out there talking, communicating, that's incredibly important. The biggest problem that I'm seeing when I go in and either I speak or I do consulting for larger corporations is they're afraid of social media, the entire term, because they're afraid of losing control. And we all know control is an illusion. And I say, you're going to have chaos or you're going to have controlled chaos. You need to participate because your competition is already doing it. You need to participate because your customers and your prospect are expecting it, and in a lot of cases are demanding it. But they're afraid to get off message. They're afraid of saying something wrong, giving up some intellectual property. Or in a lot of cases, if it's a publicly traded company, you got to be extremely careful because of the SEC rules. So a lot of the CEOs, and also a lot of the CEOs, are over 50. And to us that are over 50, technology isn't second nature as it is to the millennials, the X's and the Y generations. So they're a little bit afraid of it, but they're coming around because we were all afraid of web pages and email at one time as well.
Yes, and we really have no choice either.
It's coming with or without us, so my advice is embrace it.
Now, you talk about sharing photos. Which resource is the best for sharing photos online?
You know, that kind of depends on whether you're using it personal or you're using it for business, and who your demographic is and where your friends are, and what do you want to get out of it. Flickr, F-L-I-C-K-R, is by far the largest and most used. That's the one that I use. But there's other ones like Photo Bucket, and even Kodak has one. But I like Flickr, and I think that's probably the most popular, and that's where most people go to look for photographs and to kind of participate.
Good. Now, let's back up a little bit and talk about you personally. You've got quite a background in innovation, in entrepreneurship, marketing, sales, strategic partnering. You've founded 8 successful startups. You have a tremendous amount of content published at the Smithsonian. I think we're both about in the same age group. You mentioned us in the 50s, so I'm going to go with that. So what's a serious serial startup expert like you doing in the frilly, silly world of social media? Second Life, you've got a big profile on Second Life, blogging.
Boy, you did your homework. Jeez. I've been actually pretty lucky. My wife calls me Forrest Gump. Just kind of been in some interesting places and came up with some interesting technology. Yeah, I have 18 inventions in the Smithsonian, over 30,000 personal records in there, personal documents. I'm a serial entrepreneur. I can see trends. Generally, I can see the type of trends. I can identify disruptive technology anywhere between 2 and 20 years before it actually, by the way, knowing something 20 years in advance is more of a hindrance than it is a help. So when I saw social media, I thought, oh my gosh, it's going to change the way we do marketing. It's changing public relations. It's changing communications. And most importantly, it's going to change the way we interface with our customers and our prospects. And as a serial entrepreneur, that was really important to me because if there were going to be these kinds of marketing and PR and sales changes, I wanted to know about them before anybody because I wanted a competitive edge and I knew I'd have to learn it eventually anyway. And when I saw social media, I was like, wow, what a perfect match.
Now, when did you get religion for social media?
Yeah, and I try not to tie in that too much, the whole religious
side. Metaphor.
Yeah, well, I'm a social media prophet. That's spelled with an F, not a PH. Prophet. It was close to 2.5 years ago, kind of the light bulb went on over my head when I saw what was coming. And I was like, wow, this is really absolutely amazing. And that's when I went back to when I went to John Wiley and I pitched the table, annotated table of contents, and I said, this is going to happen. And the cool thing was that they were already recognizing it. They were doing books like Robert Scoble's Naked Conversations and David Knorr's book, David Meerman Scott. So they were getting it, and the timing was absolutely perfect.
Excellent. Now, Of your 10 commandments, which are two of the most important ones? Let's go with three. Which are the three 10 commandments? Let's say we're not ready to live all 10 commandments, but which are the anybody can live right now?
Yeah, and it's funny that you should pick three because I've recently kind of in my own mind came up with the trinity of social media, and that is blogging, tweeting, and social networking. If you really want to boil all of the Ten Commandments down to three things, the most important things as a business, as a small business, or even a Fortune 500 company, the most important three, the trinity of social media, is blogging, tweeting, and social networks.
Okay. Now let's define social networks for us, because there's so many uses of that term. How do you use the term social networks?
Yeah, the cool thing about social networks is it is a really, really broad term, and it's like social media. Social means social, like you and I. Right now we're socializing, we're talking, we're communicating, two-way communication. That's the biggest change in marketing, is that for the first time we have two-way communication, not just one way. We don't pontificate now. We are forced to communicate. We don't push our commercials out and push our web page. We set up a blog where we can actually hear our customers speak back with us. And then, of course, media just means the tools that we're using to have that two-way communication. And social networks is the same thing. It's a network. You go to your church, you go to work, you go to your club on the weekend. Those are networks. Even your family is a network. So the social networks can be any place where like-minded people gather and share similar thoughts. So that, of course, can be things like Ning. Ning is a great place to set up your own community, but also Facebook. It's got 250 million people in there sharing ideas. MySpace is another great place. LinkedIn is awesome as a professional Rolodex. But even YouTube and Flickr, where you're sharing photos and video, those are social networks. Those are people, like-minded people, people that like photographs, that like videos, and like a particular subject. So participate in those, because there's lots of other people in there. That's where the business is. That's where the connections are.
Fantastic. Thank you. You work with Fortune 2000 companies. And let's remind our audience what defines a Fortune 2000 company.
Yeah, Fortune Magazine, of course, comes out with their list of the 500 largest corporations in America, and then the top 1,000, the top 2,000. They pretty much stop there. I also work with all size companies, right up through Fortune 500, some of the largest actually in the world. But I like working with medium size. I even like working with entrepreneurial companies, because I can relate best to them because I've been an entrepreneur my entire life. But Fortune 1,000 companies generally are the $5 to $50 million range, and I like that size because they're more pliable. They're earlier adopters. They're growing. They want to embrace change, where most Fortune 500 companies really are afraid of change, and they don't want change. And those are the companies that are actually resisting social media the most. So the $5 to $50 million companies per year, yeah, they're the ones that are going to grow the fastest, and may even bump out some of the Fortune 500s if they embrace social media correctly.
Now, it sounded like you were saying as you moved up the food chain in Fortune's list of companies from 2,000 to 1,000 to 500 and maybe even into 100, that the resistance to social media perhaps becomes a little bit more tangible. Would that be correct, or am I wrong on that?
No, I think you're absolutely right. It may be a gross generalization, because there are a lot of Fortune 500 companies that are actually embracing social media. But based on my observations, it really comes to be the exception and not as much the rule. And I think we've seen that. I mean, look what happened with General Motors and Ford and the auto industry. They, for 30 years, they resisted change. They resisted making smaller, more gas-efficient, smaller carbon footprint automobiles, and the rest of the world kind of beat them out. And they resist change. And I think the Fortune 500 companies, a lot of them are doing the same thing. They're afraid of losing control. They're afraid of, for example, Intel. I met with some people over at Intel, and I asked them, I said, how many of your employees are currently writing on an internal blog? And they said, none of them are writing internally, but there's over 6,000 writing externally about Intel. Well, you know, from a human resource and from a CEO position, if I had 6,000 of my employees off just doing their own thing, loose cannons, that would really scare the heck out of me. And so it should. So you have to set up guidelines, you have to set up consequence, but you also have to set up support. support those people in talking about your company, about their company. They love it. And that's the kind of stuff that the Fortune 500 companies are fearing, is losing control over that message.
Now, are you familiar with what Best Buy has done with its customer service and moving it onto Twitter?
Isn't that amazing? I love that story. I think that's terrific. And they've even were smart enough to turn it into nationally published commercials, television commercials. I saw one the other night. And for the listeners that aren't familiar with this, basically, if anybody has any kind of a problem with anything that's purchased at Best Buy, you can toss it out to the Best Buy Twitter sphere, and not only their own personal experts, but anybody else that is any kind of an expert will immediately tweet you back with service help. Wow, could you imagine instant customer service, not from one person who put you on hold, but from literally tens of thousands of people? Boy, Best Buy, they get it.
And the interesting thing is that on they have a landing page for all the tweets tagged with the keyword of 12 force. And so you can see the stream of everybody's conversation between the customers and all of the customer service personnel on one page.
Yeah, isn't that great? And that's, in old days, like a couple of years ago, we would call that brand engagement as well, as engaging your customers in your brand. If you've got that many people interested enough in Best Buy that they're going to follow these tweets, they're going to respond to the tweets, they're going to look at the Twitter pages, wow, that's an amazing way to get your customers involved in your brand. And Dell did that a couple of years ago. Remember the exploding batteries in the laptop?
Yeah, yeah, I sure do.
They did a spectacular job. I mean, that could have been one of the worst things that have ever happened to any company. Imagine having a laptop in your lap and having it blow up into flames. I mean, that's a ridiculous scenario, but it actually happened. But the cool thing is the VP of Dell set up a Twitter account, got out there, and like every 15 minutes the first couple of days, he was sending out tweets. This is what you do. Take your battery out. This is how you protect yourself. This is how you put out the fire. This is where you go to get service. I mean, Dell actually gained market share because of the way they responded to their customers, as opposed to losing it because of that tragedy.
Two weeks ago, I spoke with Jackie Huber from Church of the Customer, and she was talking about Scott Monty from Ford's social media endeavor, and he personally spent something like 24 straight hours interacting on behalf of some bloggers who had a misunderstanding with Ford's legal department and some poorly worded special offers and links, but he jumped right into the fray to straighten it out and stayed online on Twitter to make sure that the conversations were clear and up to date with what Ford's stance truly was.
Now, isn't that wonderful? I mean, if you had that kind of a problem, or even if you were considering buying a product from a company that responded this way, doesn't that give you a whole nother level of comfort and trust? Whoa, trusted network. Here we go with the trust word. I mean, that's what it's all about, is using these tools to communicate with your customers and to build that trust. And he put a face on that company. So it's not a faceless company that you send an email to that never gets responded to, or you leave a voicemail that never gets responded. Here's an individual that cares about the relationship between you and their company. That's what builds trust. That's what builds bottom line revenue.
Well, you know, just from hearing that story, you know, I've become open again to looking at Ford. I'm not a big Ford fan, but, you know, hearing that they're going to do that and they've got somebody dedicated to the brand and really out there getting it, I'll take a second look at the Ford model.
Exactly. And how much did Ford just pay for this two-minute commercial that we just gave them? So, see the spin-offs? That's what
I'm
talking about.
No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, send them an invoice. But you know what? They showed that they cared. And that's all we expect from companies that we buy products and services from. They care. Everybody makes mistakes, but it's how you fix the mistakes that shows whether or not you have integrity. And that's what the smart companies are doing with social media. The other example is I travel with a woman by the name of Amanda Vega, and we do presentations, and we're heading back to New York. And she was on Continental, I was on a different airline, and Continental notified the passengers, she was on Continental, that the plane was going to be 15 minutes late. So she got a little ticked off. And you would know her blog is called Belligerent Blogger, so that just tells you all about her. And she sent out a tweet 15 minutes late, Continental Airlines, what else is new? And she sent it from the airline. Okay, so that she feels better. It's a catharsis. She got it off her chest. The plane then got serviced. She walked onto the plane, and as she was stepping onto the plane, a stewardess came up to her and said, hello, are you Amanda Vega? And she says, why, yes, I am. And they handed her a glass of champagne and personally apologized for the delay.
Wow.
Now, isn't that amazing? So, yeah, I'm going to fly Continental Airlines. I don't even know how they did it, but I thought that that was absolutely unbelievable customer service.
Good for them. Good for them. So when you go to, when you begin to work with a client, let's say the larger client, you know, Fortune 2000 and moving north, what's the most, what do you tell them is the most important step for them as they begin to consider a social media campaign?
You know, the most important thing, absolutely the most important thing, which I have to do commandments 11 through 20, is strategy. You have to have a strategy. The Ten Commandments basically say, get in the game. If you want to win, you have to be in the game. And that's what the first 10 are. But then there's that next step. What do we do now? Once we have our photographs uploaded, once we have our video uploaded, and I have all my profiles, the next thing is have a strategy. This is where most corporations are failing. They think that just because they have a Facebook profile and a group, that that's it. Well, you got to maintain it. You got to participate in it. You got to engage your audience. And that's where most companies are failing. You need to have an integrated strategy. Who's your demographic? What are you trying to achieve? And then most important, how are you going to measure it? Because every corporation doesn't request but demands ROI, rate of return on investment. And with all marketing, conventional marketing, TV ads, magazine ads, trying to find a direct ROI is nearly impossible. But and a lot of that is true for social media because you always get brand recognition, brand awareness, brand engagement. But trying to find a direct ROI is difficult, but it can still be done. And you can't manage what you don't measure. So my advice is the number one thing in strategy is set up ways where you can measure your social media efforts. The most important reason is once you see what the ROI, when you begin to measure, that's what's going to give you the enthusiasm to continue to use social media.
Let's talk about measuring the ROI because it seems to be a hot button. I've seen people I consider to be very smart say that measuring the impact of social media is virtually impossible. But I think that's getting to be a little bit old school. I think people are understanding possibly, they should be, that you can measure social media. When you talk to a client, what are some of the things you tell them are metrics? What are some of the metrics you tell them they can use to measure the impact of a social media campaign?
Yeah, the first thing that I say when they ask for an ROI on social media, I remind them that it's media. And then I ask them, I said, do you take out advertisements in trade journals in your industry? And, of course, their answer is yes. And I said, well, then you spend a lot of money, so you should be able to know exactly what the ROI is on any one publication. Is that correct? And then, of course, you get that deer in headlights look. And I say, okay, well, I know that you've done radio and television. Can you tell me exactly what the ROI is on your last campaign? And, of course, you get the deer in headlights look again. So once we set the stage that a lot of social media, a lot of the ROI is about brand recognition. I mean, if you do a national television campaign, you're going to pay $350,000 per commercial. And if you look at what the car companies are doing and what Pepsi and McDonald's and the big Fortune 500s are doing, you see that you are bombarded continuously during prime time with these $350,000 commercials. What's the ROI? Well, it's almost impossible to measure it, but we all know the value because we all do it because that's the only way you drive customers and build brand. So trust me, 80, 90% of all the ROI is about participating and about brand engagement. But there are ways. Let me give you an example. Gary Vaynerchuk, Gary V. This guy is awesome. He came down to Arizona for our entrepreneurship conference last year, and I got to spend a little bit of time with him, and I interviewed him for the book. And he recently asked the same question. So what he did was is he took conventional marketing and social media marketing and compared them. One of the tricks that we've all done for the last 50 years in conventional marketing is you offer somebody some kind of a discount and you embed a specific code in that ad, and that way you can track that ad, the effectiveness. So what he did was he says, I'm going to do a direct mail piece, I'm going to do a billboard, and I'm going to send out a free tweet. Now, a tweet is simply a text message to people that want to receive your text messages. The direct mail piece cost him $15,000, which is reasonable for a direct mail piece, and it brought him in 200 new customers. Okay, so the ROI is simply 15,000 divided by 200. Okay, that's pretty good for direct mail. The industry average is about anywhere from 0.5% up to 1.5% conversion. And then he did a billboard along one of the freeways in New Jersey, and that cost him $7,500, half as much. And he actually picked up 300 new customers off of the billboard. I thought that was interesting. A billboard actually picked up 50% more new customers at half the price, better ROI. And then he sent out a free tweet, and it was free. It's just a text message. And within 24 hours, he picked up 1,800 new customers. So, you know what? That's not a bad ROI.
Oh, that's an incredibly great ROI, which is, you know, it illustrates everything you're saying here, which is, you know, engagement, a personal message, and engagement with the right audience in the right medium.
Exactly, and building a trusted network. The people that follow him on Twitter trust him because they know that he's really good at marketing. He's also spectacular about wine. He owns just go to Wine Library and Gary V. He's actually created 700 videos, over 700 videos. Low quality, I mean, not, you know, high-tech stuff. He just sits in his office with a little flip cam. But the point is that the content is good, and he's built trust by talking to his customers over the last couple of years.
Now, when you go to a client and you tell them about this key point about get in the game, have a strategy, and you know, be sure to identify what your desired ROI is, can you illustrate two companies for us, one who followed your advice and one who failed to follow your advice, and what happened?
Well, I don't want to name names on radio because that wouldn't help those companies out. But I can give you a couple of examples. I mean, we just cited a few examples of Dell and Continental Airlines. Comcast is another one that had a really bad reputation. But by using social media properly, someone tweeted that something really bad about Comcast and that they had really bad cable reception. And within 30 minutes, a service truck pulled up outside that person's door. I mean, that's another one of those kind of scary, almost stalking kind of ROIs. But there's a lot of companies that are out there that are doing it. There's some companies out there that are still testing the waters. Chris Brogan, I love Chris Brogan. He's a social media total dude. And he was hired by Walmart to write a blog post about his experiences shopping at Walmart. Now, on the surface, that kind of sounds okay, but what if you took a New York Times journalist and a corporation paid them to write a column about their experience? See where I'm going with this one?
Yeah.
He made it very clear in his blog that he was being paid, because the thing I love about Chris is that he is transparent, he's sincere, he's authentic. Those are the three key words: transparent, authentic, and sincere when you're participating in social media and engaging your customers and your prospects. However, it wasn't received that way. He caught a lot of flack, and so did Walmart, for being a paid blogger. And I'm not really clear in my own head whether that's a bad thing or not, as long as you announce it. And by the way, he had a good experience, but some people think that he wrote that way. I mean, I know Chris, so I know that he was absolutely sincere about it. So one of the things you got to be really, and then mommy bloggers, oh, Lord, you're going to hear a lot more about this. There's companies that hire stay-at-home moms, literally, to deliberately engage in mommy conversations, newborns, toddlers, because there's a ton of social networks out there. But they're actually being paid by agencies to blog and to tweet and to comment about products that they think are awesome. Well, sometimes they really think they're awesome. Sometimes they really think the checks that they're getting from the marketing companies are really awesome. So what's happening is that there's kind of a little bit of a shift going on about personas, who you really are. in the United Kingdom, in England, if you have a false persona and pretend to be someone that you're not, you can do jail time. And the FCC is actually looking at implementing that same law here. If you lie about who you are or about what your intentions are using social media, you could go to jail. In England, you do. So that's something that we're taking really serious, is be transparent, be authentic, be sincere, and you'll never get in trouble.
I mean, I understand why people would be in a position to want to do that. But at the same time, I find it hard that, you know, the rules we learn in kindergarten and elementary school about, you know, be honest about yourself, who you are, and what you're doing, somehow seems to get lost as we get older. I don't know.
Well, if you ever saw Mad Men, which is about Madison Avenue advertising, you'll see, yeah, in advertising and marketing, pretty much is all fair in love and war and marketing, you know, whatever it takes to get the customer to buy. And that's what's kind of turned us off on marketing. I mean, I talk about television commercials during primetime TV. I love television commercials during prime time. It gives me the opportunity to get up and go to the bathroom. Otherwise, I'll miss my show. So I don't call them so much commercials. I call them bio breaks. So, and I think most everybody feels that way because otherwise TiVo would not be as popular as it is. We're just burned out on being hammered and being lied to or misrepresented to. We want transparency and authenticity and sincerity. And the companies that are out there that have that as a mission statement, as a core fundamental building block of their organization, they're going to come across that way, and they're going to be the winners. You're right. Let's refer to the original Ten Commandments.
Now, when you go to companies, to potential clients, why are you asked to come and help them? What's the catalyst from their side? I mean, clearly they're asking you to help with social media, but what was the catalyst that made them leap into the unknown and begin to look closely at social media with an expert like yourself?
Well, you know, the first thing is the biggest question I get is, oh my gosh, where do we begin? And it's kind of this helpless call for help. I mean, it's really sad sometimes because everybody's heard about social media, but when you look at the landscape, there, in the book I've had a research over 250 companies. That's a lot of companies. That's a lot of technology. And everybody's doing something different. So the first thing is they want to wrap their brain around it. What the heck is social media and why should we be doing this? Now, we've seen it on Time Magazine and it's in our nighttime dramas. It's now showing up in movies. It's part of our culture and our dang kids have been doing it now. I mean, my daughter, I don't think we gave her a teething ring. I think we actually gave her a cell phone. And they know the importance of it, and they know that if they don't embrace it quickly and their competition does, they're going to lose their competitive advantage. That's the way we're moving. For example, look at all of the major newspapers. All the major newspapers are in huge financial trouble. I just heard last week that the New York Times solicited a millionaire in Mexico to make a charitable donation to keep the lights on at the New York Times. Could you imagine that? I mean, that's incomprehensible. So we're moving in that direction. So corporations understand that they have to embrace it, but they simply don't know where to begin. And the reason that they call me is because I wrote the book on it. So it's the most logical place to start. Not that I'm an expert. By the way, if anybody calls themselves a social media expert, run screaming from their marketing materials, because that's a lie. Trust me, I wrote the book on it. I'm not an expert in any one of those fields. I may know as much or more than some people, but it's just too much to know right now. So my warning goes out to anybody who's a social media expert or social media guru. Right now, we're all just doing the best we can because this industry is also growing, it's expanding, and every day I learn of a new application, either of existing technology, or every day I learn about one, two, sometimes three new applications in social media.
Yeah, that's a great point about, you know, there's so much change and so many new resources and so many new ways to use it that for anybody to identify themselves as an expert or a guru, you best be running away because there's probably a little overstated claims in their profile page.
You know, that's absolutely true. And right now, anybody who considers themselves marketing, even in the most broadest sense, is now calling themselves social media experts to kind of ride this bandwagon of excitement with social media. And the other thing, too, is that marketing companies, huge public relations companies, I mean, I'm talking the largest in the world, are selling social media services. And when I went into some of these companies, I looked at what they were selling. They haven't a clue. I mean, yeah, they'll get you a blog, they'll put you on Facebook. Guess what? That's not a social media strategy. I mean, that's really just a waste of money. So even the biggest companies still haven't quite figured out how to implement a proper social media strategy.
From your travels and talks, because you're doing it a lot and you're doing it across the country, you know, again, you're a great speaker. You generate a lot of testimonials. So you're a much sought-after speaker. What would you describe as a common sentiment among large corporate brands for social media now as opposed to, say, a year ago?
You know, that's a great observation. It's changing considerable. I mean, actually, when I started working with my publisher, Pearson, which had published my three previous books, and when I brought them social media, they're like, we'll put it into blue sky, which is a term in publishing where they take it to the final decision-making group and they vote on it as a group. And it was turned down time and time again. Q turned it down, Sam's, Penguin, Wharton, every one of their titles. And then that's also part of what drove me to look at other publishers. Now, I mean, I just got asked to comment and participate in a book that Pearson was doing, which technically now is my competition. Competing publisher. So there's an actual practical example that I saw just this week. And the big companies are doing exactly the same thing. If you would have mentioned social media, they would ask you to leave their building. They didn't want to know about it. They don't want to talk about it. If they turned their head and they didn't look at social media, maybe social media couldn't see them. And they were hoping that it was going to go away. But over the last year, that attitude is changing because everybody's starting to realize it's not going to go away. It's integrated in our society. And again, you have to be in the game to win. So their attitudes are changing. The question is how do we get in the game?
Excellent. Excellent. Now, you hear me pause just because I'm scribbling notes, even though Susan, I'm sure, is listening or will listen to this and transcribe the highlights for me. And
I'll
have them later, and I'll share them with you as well. But when I have a great speaker like yourself, I end up hearing so many good stuff, I just start scribbling notes because I want to connect back to it.
Yeah, please, please. This is great. I love the energy. I love the questions. Wow, you really get it. That's cool.
Now, are they about to reach a tipping point? You know, the larger corporate brands, you know, in all industries, are we nearing the tipping point where suddenly, you know, people get it? They get that it's more than a Facebook page and a blog that you post to once a month, you know, that you actually have to engage and participate and feed the community. Are we reaching that point with large brands, or are we still a ways away?
You know, I think we are reaching it because I think the level of awareness around us, again, you talk about social media and it makes the cover of Time magazine. You know what? That's in your face. So, yeah, we are kind of reaching that tipping point. Now, where we're going with it, again, I said I'm over 50. I just turned 54 this past weekend. And this technology doesn't come easy to people over 50 generally. And unfortunately, those are the ones that are in the C-suite, CEO, CFO, COO. These are the people that are supposed to be setting the strategic direction for their corporations. And they're the least amiable to social media. And because I've been around for a while, I've been involved in the computer industry ever since the computer industry actually existed, and I saw the same exact kinds of changes when you look back on history of technology over the last 25, 30 years. Take the web, the internet, 1995. Corporations wanted nothing to do with the web. They were hoping it was going to go away. There was nothing in it for them. There was all of this potential liability. And then we hit a tipping point where every company said, let's create brochureware. Let's take our brochure, let's make it electronic, let's put it up on a website, whatever that is. At least people can read our brochure 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, anywhere in the world. So there was that first tipping point. But as you know, where have we come since just simply putting an electronic brochure up? It's exploded. and corporations now are embracing web pages and customer service and chats and e-commerce. Well, we're going to see the same exact thing with social media. The first tipping point is to get them to accept it. The second is to implement it. The third is to have a logical strategy. And you know what? I can't go beyond there because this technology is improving so rapidly. I'm not sure exactly how we're going to be using it 2, 3, 5 years from now.
Now, what's the difference between maybe that attitude of the larger corporations and compared to the attitude of small businesses?
Well, small businesses generally, by definition, are entrepreneurs. We have 21 million three or less employee companies in America. That's substantial, by the way. that's a huge demographic. And by definition, just as myself and the companies that I've built over my lifetime, most of them were almost always under 25 employees. Well, we're entrepreneurs. We're generally early adopters. We're also incredibly broke. We don't have any money. We don't have money to throw at national television campaigns. We don't have a surplus to hire marketing and public relations companies. Generally, the smaller companies are all hands to the pump. Everybody's doing everything they can for the survival of the company. And right now, for entrepreneurs, this is about the worst time in my lifetime that I've seen because of the economy. Thank God it's pulling out, and our new administration is doing some amazing things. Well, still, it's a tough time. Well, if I can go into these smaller companies and I can say, what if I can show you new marketing techniques that your competition doesn't quite grasp yet that is more effective than any marketing that you have ever done or ever read about? And by the way, it's 100% free. As a small business owner, are you interested? Well, yeah, that's a resounding yes. And that's why I think the smaller companies are embracing it, because of all of these advantages that, and the bigger corporations have all of these restrictions. So, yeah, this, and again, the smaller companies are going to crawl up that food chain. So look out, Fortune 2000, because you've got some small companies that are going to get this, and they're going to be up there with you, pushing you out.
And that's the way it should be.
That's the wonderful thing about the Internet, and always has been. Microsoft has a web page. So do I. Wow. I mean, just that concept right there is that the Internet is the most powerful marketing tool that has ever been created in mankind, and one of the largest corporations in the world is sitting side by side next to my marketing materials, all at the same expense. That's a powerful leveling tool. Social media marketing is doing exactly the same thing. You don't have to hire Seinfeld to write on your blog. You can be more effective than if you hired him.
Now, having been a CEO of a small company and having seen the power of social media, which back then was limited to mostly blogging, having seen what it can do for our success, what are three tips or steps or resources you'd share for a small business getting ready to jump into the social media pool? I think we touched on it earlier, but it's important enough to let's go over it again.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, the most important thing, first most important, is get in the game. You know, get your profiles, get your photos, get your videos, get up there, start writing a blog, start adding content. You need a cyber presence. You need to have a presence on the Internet. If you Google my name, for example, Lon Safko, 44,500 hits. That's a lot of web pages. Well, I'll bet you that most 2,000 companies doesn't come back with 44,500 hits. But that's what they need to do if they want to compete. Because remember, their customers, and more importantly, their prospects, the prospects are out there doing the research. They're interfacing. They're learning. They're getting the feel for the next company that they're going to hire. So they have to be in the game so that when their customers go into Flickr and type in a product or service that they pop up, or Google, or tweet, or wherever. And then, of course, the second thing that's really imperative is have some kind of a measurable strategy, a logical strategy of how do you reach your demographic. I just consulted with HealthWays owns the brand Silver Sneakers, which is a senior exercise program. Awesome program. But you know what? The strategy for reaching seniors is going to be significantly different than the Gap uses, for example. The tools are going to be the same. Twitter is still important. Blogs are important, even though most seniors don't participate. But guess what? the kids of the seniors who care about the health of their mom and dads and want to keep them around are going to harass the heck out of them to get out there and exercise if you can reach the kids. See, so it's not apparent, but that's part of what the strategy needs to be.
Fantastic. Okay. We're getting in towards the end of our show, and I'm kind of sad because I think we're having a great conversation. You've been sharing some great perspectives and tips and resources, and we could probably go on and on for a long time.
This is great.
You share a lot of great quotes on your website, and your website, again, and I apologize for not having this ready at the start of the show, but it's your website is www.lonsafco.com. Lon, can you leave us with one of your favorite quotes from your website?
Well, I got a lot of quotes in the upper right-hand side, entrepreneurial quotes. The one that gets re-quoted the most, which I think is kind of funny, it came out in one of my presentations and somebody started tweeting it. As a salesperson, no doesn't mean no until there's a restraining order. And really, what does that mean? It means you can't lose if you don't quit. If you just stay at it, and it applies to social media, stay at it. Don't give up. Keep doing it. Don't use social media for 2 weeks and say, this stuff doesn't work. It's a long-term strategy, just like all other marketing strategies are. Stay in the game. As long as you're in the game and you don't quit, you can't lose. And no doesn't mean no until there's a restraining order. Stay at it. That's the most important thing. Tenacity.
Excellent. That's a great quote. Now, where are you speaking? I know you're always on the road and you're always talking, and rightfully so. Where's your next presentation?
Well, you know, August is summertime, so most people want to go to the beach, not to a conference. But there are some smaller ones in August. But we have one that's really huge coming up on September 22nd here in Mesa, Arizona. It's going to be a statewide business education partnership, and it's actually supported by the superintendent of schools, the entire state, and even our governor may be talking about it during her international State of the State address. That's coming up on September 22nd. Also speaking in Tucson in September, I'll be in New Orleans talking about social media to a group down there, and they're asking me to come down to Sydney, Australia, even in the end of September. So I'm excited. In October, Digital Marketing Association, DMA, or DM Days, is in San Diego. I'll be a panelist there. So, yeah, a lot of cool stuff coming up.
That's fantastic. Well, I hope you have a great time in Sydney. I had a chance to spend some time down there with work a few years ago.
Wow.
And great city, great people, and I think you'll really love it.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I've never been there. I'm excited.
It's been 10 years ago, so probably a lot of things have changed. But either the beach is Manly Beach or Bondi Beach. The Manly Beach has a wonderful ferry ride that's worth the trip in itself. So those are my two recommendations.
Thanks for the tips.
Now, where can people find you on the website, on the web, all your social media sites? Where can people find you and follow you?
Absolutely. First thing to do is go get the book. That's going to help a lot. The second thing is that there's a website that supports the book, but we're also starting to add a lot of new content. It's called thesocialmediabible.com. Just go over there, sign up, and there's a whole bunch of cool stuff. We're going to have membership stuff. If you sign up, we're going to give away things. And so by all means, go there. And, of course, lonsafco.com, lonsafco.com. You can find out more about me, book me as a speaker, bring me into your corporation, let me help. I'm here to help. That's my aspiration.
So I think that's kind of the common theme with people on social media is, and I think that's why some larger brands maybe have a difficulty getting their head around the concept and use of social media and helping others. And you illustrated it perfectly with what you just said. You know, clearly marketing yourself, you know, hire me to come into your company, you know, hire me as a speaker, but I'm here to help. And being on a show like this, having your blog, all the videos on your site, you know, it's there to help people.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of sentiment in social media, in the community, is always rewarded.
And that's what I love about community. That was the key word, community. We are a community. We're the early adopters. We want to keep it pure. We want to help. We want it to grow. We want companies that use it to grow. All of us are here to help.
Fantastic. Now, we're about 10 seconds away from going on streaming mode. So those listening on the phone, you'll be able to continue to listen. But those listening in streaming mode, we're about to sign off, but you'll hear the whole show. I think we've come to the end of our show. So I'm going to wrap it up. I'm going to tell you who you've been listening to, since I did not do that at the beginning. Lon Safko is the author of Social Media Bible: Tactics, Tools, and Strategies for Business Success. In addition to that, he's also an innovator and professional speaker with more than 20 years of experience in entrepreneurship, marketing, sales, strategic partnering, speaking, training, writing, and e-commerce. He's the founder of 8 successful companies. He has, I think you mentioned, 18 patents and 30,000 pages of documentation at the Smithsonian. And you can find him at www.lonsafko.com, and that's S-A-F-K-O. And you can also find him at his resource to support his book, which is, the site is www.thesocialmediabible.com. Take that first step and get the Bible, read it, master the Ten Commandments, follow what they recommend, live the Ten Commandments of social media, and I will have transcripts up from this conversation by Sunday, and my blog is zanesafrit.typepad.com. And I'll also follow up with separate posts sharing some of these very specific lists of tips for entrepreneurs who are considering using social media. Lon, it's been a great pleasure, and thank you so much for your patience at the very beginning of the show. Babies come when babies come.
Shane, thank you. I'm proud to be part of it.
Thanks very much, and take care and have good travels.
Thank you. You too, sir.
All right. Take care.
Blog Talk Radio.